The following program is being paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. And the views and opinions of the host do not necessarily represent those of the station or its ownership.
You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.
To develop a better understanding of the wise use of credit, let's spend a few minutes with a certain individual we'll call
the Sandman. Now it's time for Protect Your Assets with your host, as featured in Forbes magazine, David Hollander, President and CEO of the Liberty Group, LLC. And now, here's the Sandman.
Mr. Sandman.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, your host. People call me the Sandman because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions every single week right here. That's because I am a financial advisor and a licensed attorney. We're live in the studio today, so if you have a question, maybe you got sued, maybe you have a mutual fund, or maybe you're just not making any money at the bank, you'd like to find out what's available, go ahead and give us a call right now. The number is 415-808-5627. Again, that number, 415-808-5627. Or if you don't want to be on the air, then you can always tweet me your question at PYA Radio. That's at PYA Radio anytime. Is the 4% withdrawal rule dead? You know what I'm talking about, right? When it comes to income planning, the 4% withdrawal rule usually sticks out as one of the most common rules of thumb that is followed by investment advisors. It goes something like this. Take 4% from your investment savings every year, no more. You can adjust it a little bit to combat with inflation, but as long as you don't take out more than 4% from your portfolio, you should see your money last the rest of your life. So say you're taking 4% from your portfolio right now, or you're planning on retiring soon, and you figured out that the 4% rule could work to cover your basic living expenses. But then, all of a sudden, that stream of income decreases, or worse, comes to a complete stop. What do you think happens? Well, your lifestyle is going to change, of course. Now you're depleting your savings. You're actually dipping into your principal, and this could be the trigger for what could be a worst case scenario. And that worst case scenario is running out of money during your lifetime. Does the 4% withdrawal rule guarantee you won't run out of money? How do you invest your savings when following the 4% withdrawal rule? What other income planning methods do people use or follow today? How much does the 4% withdrawal account for inflation over time? How do you consider market fluctuations in modeling your income needs? You know, this starts to feel a lot like December 31st, 1999. Can you remember back to that time? And how about this one? What should you do if the 4% rule doesn't produce enough income for you to live comfortably? These are all fantastic questions. Thank you for submitting them. You need to make sure that the methods, the investments, and the rules of thumb that you use help you make it all the way through retirement. So on today's show, I'm going to reveal some simple strategies that other people are successfully using right now. We're going to get into this 4% rule and actually look at it and see some conceptions that people just aren't aware of. Because you don't want this to change your lifestyle when it's the most important day of your life, of course. This is all coming up next, so you got to keep it right here. Now, we had a trifecta this week. Not only did we do very well in the Olympics, I think the last... And by the way, congratulations to all the Bay Area reps. I mean, all the athletes, of course, congratulations. But can you believe this? 21 gold medals, 52 total medals as of right now. This is amazing. We're doing very well. Congratulations to all our athletes, especially those from the Bay Area. Got some great names out there doing some great things. Congratulations. But anyhow, we had a trifecta this week in the stock market when it came to an all-time high. In fact, the NASDAQ The S&P 500 and the Dow Jones have not seen all three of them hit market all-time highs since, get this, December 31st, 1999. Do you remember those days? Do you remember the dot-com bust and how we were all worried about 2000 coming and the computers resetting? We all had to run out and buy new software. Remember that? So we haven't seen that for quite some time. And of course, once that started to happen on Thursday, the discussion started to happen again. The bubble boys, as they call them, Bill Gross, Carl Icahn, Jeffrey Gundlach, all very intelligent people, all started to talk about, well, are we in a bubble? What's next for this stock market? And so this morning I thought I should talk a little bit about the market and what's going on, and maybe you could get some benefit out of what I have to say. But anyway, here we go. How about this? There was a study done this week by called Net Davis Research, and it talked about the market in terms of what's called absolute terms. So when we look at something like that, we look at the stocks and the earnings that they're earning and look at the multiples on those earnings based on the price of the stock. It's called the price to earnings ratio. And if you look at it in purely absolute terms, the market is overvalued. Many of the stocks right now are trading at 20 times price to earnings. That means it's going to take 20 years for them to make one time what it equals the value of the stock today. So 20 more years to make it. You understand? So usually in recessions or in bad markets, you see that multiple go down quite a bit. It can go down to 12, 10. We've seen low as 8 sometimes. Right now it's at 20. So when you look at it in terms of absolute terms, the market is overvalued, period, end of story. But however, when you look at it in what's called relative terms, it's not so overvalued. And why is that? Well, because rates, we've never seen rates stay this artificially low for so long. And there's a reason for this. I'm going to get into that in a minute here. But rates are very low, and that's going to help businesses continue to borrow low, invest in their business, and make money off those assets that they're borrowing. Does that make sense? And so we have that. The other thing we saw this week, which was somewhat of a spark on Thursday, was inflation. Inflation, again, I'm not necessarily a believer in this, but inflation, the way they rate it, is still very low. And that's good. That's good for the market. So, you know, what should you do? Well, this might be a time to take some caution, maybe take some profits off those stocks that have made some money for you, maybe even the bond portfolio. We saw the Treasury this week do some wild gyrations. We're seeing this again in the stock market. We're seeing things we've never seen before. So I want to tell you that. If anybody tells you they know what's going to happen tomorrow, they just don't. These are times that, again, according to the bubble boys, are very dangerous times. And so you've got to be very careful. And when you looked at the 10-year Treasury note this week, yesterday it got below 151 again in the 40 range to settle at 1.51% for the week. It's where it closed. But if you look at it compared to 3 months ago, it's off 13.8%. Now, if you own bonds, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about bonds later in the show today, because bonds are important. A lot of people own bonds. They have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they own. And so I'd like to give you some education on that. I'll get back to that. But anyway, bonds are very, very interesting, and also particularly maybe very overvalued right now. So I would just caution you, maybe take some protection. You could look at shorter term bonds, higher quality bonds, maybe even fixed indexed annuities. I talk about those a lot on this show. You could wait for the stocks that you're interested in to come down a little bit and then buy them. You have to be patient though. So no one knows when this bubble, if it is a bubble, will pop, but you can use certain things to quell your behavior. That's what I'll call it. And if you want to argue, well, economics can justify forecasting, I don't know if that's true anymore. There was a very good article this week by Mr. Altman, Roger Altman, in the Wall Street Journal, and he was talking about the end of economic forecasting, and he makes a very compelling argument. He talks about why have economic forecasters in the last couple of years been so wrong. So he starts out with 2 years ago, there's an example of this perception that, you may remember this, emerging markets were the place to be. They were going to drive global growth. Oil prices are going to remain above $100 a barrel. And then interest rates would move higher. Remember that? We were all talking about those three things. All wrong. If you look at it in comparison today, they're all wrong. We've entered an age that right now the financial forecasting is much harder and less reliable. And this is because financial markets and financial investors right now are driving returns. You're seeing, for instance, in utilities right now, and some of the more conservative stocks, Look at the values of those. Look what's going on. Look where the money's flowing to, because they're paying better dividends. Financial markets now are being driven, according to this article, and it's very interesting, by these financial investors. Total global assets, we're talking about assets under management with professional managers, get this, is now $75 trillion. This was a study done by the Boston Consulting Group, BCG. $75 trillion. These are gigantic amounts that are blasting around the world chasing return. It's just that simple. So you're seeing the result is the commodity markets, corporations, even governments are being squeezed, if you are, by these financial assets. How? Start with global growth. The IMF, the International Monetary Fund, the 2013 forecast said that global growth would be around 4.1%. The Fed came out with a similar forecast, but we all know what's happened with global growth. In fact, it's been in the low twos if you're lucky. What happened with a couple of the countries they were saying were going to do well, the emerging markets like Brazil and Russia? Well, you know what's going on in Brazil because we heard about it when the Olympics started. Looks great on TV. Of course, they're not showing you all the negative things, but we know that Brazil and Russia are both in recessions right now. Interest rates. For interest rates, 2 years ago, one of the most popular banks out there, Goldman Sachs, said that U.S. federal rates would steadily rise and hit 4% this year. The bond market was implying the same thing, and if you own bonds, you know what I'm talking about. But today, the Fed fund rate is at 0.5%. Oil prices. 2 years ago, the Energy Information Administration forecasted that the case for oil would be around the mid-90s, and their low was 70. Consensus for oil would be strong. Instead, we've seen the opposite. Prices have fell this year. In fact, we saw the mid-20s. Now they're trading around in the 40s and flirting with the 40 number again. So growth, interest rates, and oil prices are usually a good forecaster of what's to come in the future. But unpredictability, this year in particular, may be the new normal. And this is thanks to the finance and the financial assets that are really driving the economies around the world. Financial factors are increasingly dominating corporations. If you talk to most of the CEOs out there, in fact, there was a study done by Harvard recently, 80% of the respondents, the CFOs of these companies, were saying that they want to meet Wall Street expectations, the targets. That's their most important short-term goal. They're not thinking the way they used to. So financial markets now are encircling the governments, financial markets, corporations. Look at even China. China is a great example. Chinese stock markets, remember last year, this started in August of last year when we saw the correction. They became volatile. The Chinese authorities decided to close the markets on a particular day. Then they reopened them. Then they imposed limits on them. They revalued their currency. China tried to control the market behavior, but what happened? Ended up failing. So it didn't really work. And if you look at another example of the Brazilian president Dilma Rousseff, who was impeached because Brazil is a commodity-centered economy and financial investors drove down the prices of commodity assets to such a type that the Brazilian market became in a deep recession. So if you think about it, finance is now driving markets. And so when you start to evaluate your portfolio and start to think about where you should be investing your money and what you should be doing, you're going to have to look at some other ways of thinking, things that may not have been so popular 5, 10, 15 years ago. Yes, this is a different market. It's a different time. Those of us who do it daily know what I'm talking about. But all I can tell you is you need to justify and set up some rules for yourself and follow them. And so one of these rules, which we're going to talk about today, which is extremely important, has to do with your income. And the rule of thumb has been the 4% withdrawal rule. And today we're going to argue, is this 4% withdrawal rule dead? I'm going to reveal the answer to this. It's all coming up next. I am David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Knowledge is power. Empower your money. This is Protect Your Assets with David Hollander on Empower Radio. You're listening to Protect Your Assets on Empower Radio. If you have questions, the Liberty Group has the answers. Call the Liberty Group right now at 888-588-5888.
888-588-5818. That's
888-588-5818.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. So is the 4% withdrawal rule dead? When it comes to income planning, the 4% withdrawal rule usually sticks out as one of the most common rules of thumb that is followed by investment advisors. So coming up in this segment, I'll reveal how this can fail and some simple strategies you can use to protect your assets. So today I want to talk to you about one of my favorite topics. This has to do with retirement income planning. To be more specific, I want to talk about how much the retirement income planning landscape has changed over the last several years. My goal today is to provide some education and guidance on today's retirement income world, how it differs from how things used to be, and whether you understand it completely or not, your retirement income and how you generate income from your savings is very important. You need to make sure that the methods, the investments, the rules of thumb you may be using will help you make it all the way through retirement. If you're recently retired or you're hoping to retire, say, in the next couple of years, you're going to want to pay attention to this because you have been saving, stashing that money away for some time. And if you hope to spend some of that money and make it last, you need to be careful with how you do that. There are so many different ways to generate income or to take withdrawals from your investments, your savings. I just don't have time to go over them all today, but some might be better for you and your individual situation than others. So always go through it, check your facts, do your diligence, any way you want to go about this. Building a plan that is conservative and reliable is key. So let's start with one of the oldest retirement income rules in the book, what they call the 4% withdrawal rule. When I start to look at the old way of planning, and I start this segment off with the show with the idea that there is an old world and a new world, I want to make sure that you know I'm not saying that the old way of thinking just doesn't work. It absolutely can work. However, with today's economic circumstances, specifically, how about interest rates being at all-time lows forever? Seeing negative rates around the world and questions about, will the Fed actually create a negative interest rate environment in the United States? Great question. Serious potential possibility. Will that happen? Many professionals, and as you heard experts as we started the show, likes of Bill Gross, Carl Icahn, tend to believe that there needs to be a new way of thinking. I'd throw ourselves in this particular camp as you start to think through some of these issues. I'd be remiss to not at least briefly explain what I mean when I use the general term retirement income planning. So let me help you make some sense of this. My definition of retirement income planning is any investment or financial planning situation that calls for a regular income paycheck on a monthly basis, or say you're taking a withdrawal from your portfolio on a regular basis, that you've been saving for retirement, for your retirement years. That's specifically what I'm talking about today. I want to make it simple for you. That's what I like to do, try and make things simple. When you need to spend your money that you've saved for your entire life, is it there? Okay, let's just be simple. There are two primary schools of thought when I envision the old world of retirement income planning. And the first one, this was the first way that most folks did it when I started in this business, was called the three-legged stool. The idea of the three-legged stool was meant to be a guide for how to plan for your income or your paychecks to arrive each month when you retired. Most of the traditional systems in retirement were built around this particular model. The first leg of the stool was your company's pension. The second leg was your Social Security paycheck. And the third leg was to be any additional withdrawals that you took from your personal savings or your investment funds. So let's focus on legs one and three for a minute, your pension and your savings, because in today's new world of thinking, these legs tend to cause problems. First, not everyone that I meet, and certainly you could talk to your friends and maybe even yourself, has a pension. Rather, most people I see have a 401k or some other type of defined contribution plan. Second, Not everyone has savings, or their savings have become their 401k or their other type of retirement account. So the three-legged stool has become essentially a two-legged stool for many, many people, and that makes it much more difficult. Number two, the actual 4% withdrawal rule. Now, for those who have some savings, whether it be outside of a pension, maybe in a bank you have them, or in a place of a 401k, the idea of the 4% withdrawal rule has been talked about for many, many years. And I want to make it simple for you to understand how it works. Let's say you had $300,000 saved in your 401k. You went ahead and said, I'm going to take 4% a year out of that account to supplement my income. The $300,000 would generate $12,000 a year. This rule is also said to support a small increase annually on that withdrawal for things like inflation. Last, the basic rule is built on having your money invested in a 50-50 allocation. What that means is 50% in equities or stocks, those could be global and domestic, and fixed income. So 50% in fixed income, 50% in equities. The bigger question is, well, how do you break that down? That's a huge statement. There's a lot of different things you could choose in those different classes. The new world of retirement income planning deals with this, and that's where things start to get a little dicey when you start talking about today's financial world. Regular and more annually, experts, researchers, professors, and the like have began to test and disprove that the 4% withdrawal theory might not stand up as well as it might once have. In fact, many people are now in support of a reduced rule of thumb, supporting something in the range of a 3 to 3.25% withdrawal strategy as more sustainable and safer when you start to look at different models that you're going to use in your analysis. In other words, because of things like very low interest rates, I talked about this at the opening, the 10-year treasury note, this is the benchmark for mortgages for a lot of the savings you may have at the bank, 1.51% as of Friday, 1.51%. In fact, 3 months ago, it was at 1.75%. So just in 3 months, that yield has gone down 13.8%. May not seem like a lot to you, but it is a lot when you start to take your money out of your account and start to live on it. Depressed stock market averages. When you look at the overall averages across the world, we're the only beacon of light right now. If you look at several other global investments you might have been involved in, you're down, you're negative, you're upside down, in fact. So that doesn't help, especially if you were trying to diversify your funds amongst those stock markets. High national deficit. What does that mean? With the U.S. deficit running around, depending on who you talk to, I'm not going to get political here, let's say it's anywhere from $15 to $19 trillion. Where is it going to go in the next 3 to 8 years? Great question. We all know it's high. We all know we have national debt. What are we going to do? How is that going to impact our markets, our way of living, when the payments on that debt start to become more than we can handle? And what about the vulnerability of Social Security and pensions? Social Security, I've done many shows on the subject. We have great books you can read about it. Visit our website, libertygroupllc.com. Find out more about that. But also pensions. Are your pensions in jeopardy right now? Let's face it. Right now, times are pretty good. Everyone's making money. Everyone's paying taxes. But remember the days when that starts to slow down, when the recession happens, when people don't have that money to pay their taxes. What do the local municipalities do? And how will that affect your pension that maybe you've been counting on to live on? Dr. Wade Fau, it's spelled P-F-A-U, he's a retirement income expert and researcher. He's made known he believes and supports the 3% withdrawal rate as a much more sustainable number in retirement. Even lately, the Society of Actuaries have recently come out with a model that equals about 3.25% if you're 65 years old. So where does that leave the traditional asset allocation model, the 50-50 or say even the 60-40? Should you continue to dump your money into a mixture of equities and bonds and hope that things last? That may not be the best idea. And does your stockbroker or your financial advisor talk to you about how to minimize these sort of problems that you might face in retirement? What about lowering taxes? Right now, again, I see this all the time. People are paying taxes on their investments and they're not aware of the ability to take losses before the end of the year or to take gains and then offset them with losses before the end of the year. You have to start thinking about those kind of things right now because by doing that correctly, you're going to leave more money in your pocket. Has your advisor shown you how to maximize these types of strategies? What about how to get the most out of Social Security? Maybe it's time you meet with an experienced financial advisor because things like tax reduction, maximizing your Social Security benefits, looking at the investment fees that you're paying right now on your investments and how to maximize those and get the most out of it. When you pull all of these components together, it can have a big impact on the way that you live your life. In our office, we have a CPA, we have an attorney, and we have a financial advisor. We work together, even though we have different businesses, we all work together to try and bring you the best possible result. So if getting your financial act together is important to you, then let me give you a simple way to get started. Right now, you can get a free, customized, this is customized for you, retirement analysis of your portfolio by my team. In this analysis, we're going to review your investments, the taxes that you're paying right now and ways to pay less taxes, your estate planning, maximizing your Social Security benefits, even looking at strategies on how you can turn your savings into income that you can never outlive. This analysis could cost you thousands of dollars, but for the next 5 minutes, for the first qualified callers on the show today, this is going to be absolutely free. So to get yours...
The lines are open for the next 5 minutes. Call the Liberty Group right now at 888-588-5818 to get your free retirement master plan. It's 888-588-5818.
The 4% withdrawal rule and other strategies, are these dead? What can you do right now? What are some effective ways to start using interest rates and withdrawal strategies for your benefit right now when the market is, let's face it, at an all-time high? Coming up next, I'm going to reveal the answers. I am David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Protect your assets. Empower your finances. This is the Protect Your Assets Radio Network on Empower Radio, empowerradio.com. If you missed any of today's show, be sure to download the podcast or listen on demand at empowerradio.com. For a complete archive of previous shows, visit the Protect Your Assets show at empowerradio.com, protectyourassets.com, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, or Stitcher Radio.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. Dow 20,000, is that a possibility? If so, withdrawing 4% from your account, is that a good idea, or should you be taking out less? We're going to go over some strategies right now that you should be using or thinking about as you start to withdraw money from your portfolio to live on to supplement your monthly check, because as you know, you have Social Security, maybe you have a pension, maybe you don't. And so with the new way of thinking, it might be all up to you. And how do you deal with that when there is low interest rates? And of course, much more market volatility. We've seen some significant movements in oil stocks this year, quite a significant move, in fact. Financials, they're still being beaten up. So what do you do? Well, one strategy that could help you reduce some of the uncertainty that the 4% withdrawal rate assumes is something that I called flooring. This is a term you may want to write down. It's called flooring. And what I mean by that is you need to develop a monthly budget, income need. And what I mean by that is you want to split it into basic needs and discretionary needs. So think about that. What are the things you need, your basic needs every single month? Those are very simple. They could be your housing, your medical care, your food, your transportation, your utilities. These are things that are basic. Then we have the things we call discretionary, like going out to dinner, like going to the movies, like maybe taking a trip. These are things that you don't necessarily need to live. Sure, they make you feel better, but those are called discretionary. And any particular budget should take into account those two sort of monthly expenses. Next, we're talking about flooring right now. Determine how much you are short on your basic needs. So after you've added all those up, what's the difference between what's coming in the door and what you actually need? Of course, you can withdraw from that, your Social Security, if you're collecting it right now, because that will help meet some of those needs. Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you took Social Security at the wrong time. These are things that we can help you undo if, in fact, that's what you did. Also, your pension payments. We've seen, and I've talked about this before, we've had people come in who have pensions, didn't even know they had them, didn't even know that they had certain amounts of pensions or options that they could do, particularly if they're married. You want to take a look at that, and you want to add that as part of your flooring. In other words, add your Social Security, add your pension payment, and then subtract that from your basic needs. What's left is what you're going to have to generate from your savings or your 401k to cover those basic expenses. That's just basic needs. You could use an annuity. You could use a reverse mortgage. You might work longer. These are all types of strategies in combination that could provide you more money to meet your basic needs. So let's look at those other methods of investing or considering for your retirement income. As I go into these other ways of thinking when it comes to retirement income planning, I want to remind you that the 4% withdrawal rule may work. It just is very little guarantee that it will, based on timing of when you enter the market, how the market, I'm talking about the stock market and the bond market, behaves over time. And as you take your withdrawals out, when should you do that? Should you do it once a year? Should you do it once a quarter, once a month? These are all very important as you start to look at this for your future. Well, like I said earlier, you certainly could work a little longer and save a little more. I know this is not an investment, but more of a suggestion. You might be amazed at how much just a few more years helps your overall longevity and retirement success potential. Remember the example I gave earlier of a $300,000 portfolio? At the 4% model, it produced $12,000 a year. Well, let's say that after I talked to you this morning, you said, you know what, I'm going to reduce it to 3%, and so that equals $9,000. If you were to work just three more years, consider this, maxing out your 401k contribution, current level is $24,500 if you're over 50, making just 3% per year in interest, your money would be closer to $400,000 at retirement. The 3% withdrawal rule now equals $12,000 a year. This doesn't take into account the increased amount your delayed, this is important, your delayed Social Security check might show, nor any employer contributions that you might receive through matching. So think about this one long-term idea. That is, what's three more years compared to the next 25 to 30 years that you're going to live in retirement if it makes your percentage, your success of retirement, that much more sophisticated? It's just a smart idea to think about. The other one I've seen lately, which I want you to be careful about, is using these calculations or calculators and non-moving models is very important. This is more of a tip than a strategy. I want you to be careful when you rely on a robo-advisory retirement income calculator. These calculators can be helpful, but they present a wide variety and range of calculation input. They don't take into account things like when you take your Social Security or when you should stop working or retire. They also don't take into account the trouble that Social Security could experience out in 2034, as they're talking about, if the revenue that was coming in was reduced. They also don't take into account when you take your taxes or how you take your taxes or how they affect your investments. So be careful when you start to use those. Want to know the single most important step you could take right now to make sure that you're prepared for quite possibly the biggest expense your retirement will face? No matter how much you've saved for retirement, this one could devastate you. If you do what 99% of most people do, and that's know nothing about their options, you're leaving potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars on the table over your lifetime, maybe even more. Can you imagine the kind of impact that that kind of money could have on your lifestyle in retirement? Well, for the minute, let's not think about you. How about your spouse or your partner? What's going to happen to them if you're not around? Even if you are around, what will you do when you can't help yourself? It's time to stop ignoring this. This just happened this week to a member of our family. I couldn't believe it. I was talking about this last week. This week, trip and fall in the hospital, broken hip. These things happen, folks, overnight. So be prepared for this. Here's what I'm going to do. For the first qualified callers today, I'm going to help you develop your own customized plan to help deal with what I'm talking about today. There's going to be no cost or no obligation to you, so you really have nothing to lose. In this plan, you're going to discover the following. How do you position and protect your assets from the skyrocketing taxes that are coming our way? How do you wring every single nickel out of your entitlement benefits that are rightfully yours, like Social Security, Medicare, and other federal programs? My plan is loaded with practical information that is designed specifically for you. You must be recently retired or 10 years away from retirement and have saved at least $250,000 in, say, a CD, IRA, 401k, even an annuity. To get yours...
The lines are open for the next 5 minutes. Call the Liberty Group right now at 888-588-5818 to get your free retirement master plan. It's 888-588-5818.
Do you own bonds in your portfolio? Well, if you do, I've got some great strategies and suggestions right now when rates are at all-time low. You're not going to want to miss this. You are listening to Protect Your Assets show. This is the Protect Your Assets radio network. I am David Hollander. We'll be right back.
You have questions? The Sandman has answers, helping you sleep better at night. You're listening to David Hollander and Protect Your Assets on Empower Radio. You're listening to Protect Your Assets on Empower Radio. If you have questions, the Liberty Group has the answers. Call the Liberty Group right now at 888-588-5818. That's 888-588-5818.
Welcome back. You're listening to Protect Your Assets Radio Network. I'm your host, David Hollander. Want to possibly make $100,000 or more from your Social Security? Well, backed by popular demand, we are doing some more dinner meetings in the Bay Area this month. In fact, we've got next Thursday in Berkeley, one of my advisors, Adam McNulty, will be doing a meeting at Spanger's. And then I'm going to be the following week on the peninsula, back in the peninsula in Burlingame, at Fattoria e Mare on the 25th. If you'd like to come, you need to reserve a seat because these do fill up. It is first come, first serve. Go ahead and call 866-PROTECT. That's 1-866-PROTECT. Or if you want to dial it out, it's 1-866-776-8328 to reserve your seat. What about bonds? You know, right now, bonds have been particularly volatile. In fact, yesterday, the bond market was pretty much all over the place. In fact, this is quite an interesting time. If you have bonds in your portfolio, you've been riding essentially a high for quite some time that is completely, well, I'd say mostly artificial. In fact, with rates being so low, this has driven the price of bonds higher. How long can this last? This is, in a sense, a bubble in itself. And as you start to analyze bonds, I want to give you some suggestions. First and foremost, you got to get my book. Go to my website, libertygroupllc.com. At the bottom of the site on the right, you'll see my ebook, Protect Your Assets. In it, page 28, I have a whole section on bond investments, the risks you need to know about, how you rate them, what are some things you want to consider. But right now in particular, as you start to look at your bond portfolio, which I encourage you to do right now, I'm concerned with what's called general obligation debt. State, local, school district, GOs, they call them. State tax revenues, which are dependent primarily upon the receipts from income, sales taxes, these have increased since the recession. However, think about this, and you've heard this by both parties. Structural issues are out there. We have a lot of work to do. Some states, many localities, have some serious problems they have to deal with. And so local revenues depend primarily on real estate, property tax receipts, and in some regions, growth continues to be a problem because of real estate assessed values. High distressed, also known as shadow inventories. Also, weaker tax revenues in some regions of the country, paired with pension and other after-employment benefits. They call these post-employment benefits, or OPEBs. These are liabilities that aren't going to go away. These could put more pressure on your state and local GOs. So when you allocate your portfolio to what I'll call GO bonds or GO sectors at local or state levels, you want to focus on regions where house price appreciation is strong, where there is good employment. Obviously in the Bay Area, it's been a great story with the real estate market. Well, depends on how you look at it. Economic growth trends to be a serious issue when you look at that. And so as long as you have that occurring as well and exceeding the national average, those are all good. I'm encouraging you to look at some bonds as part of your portfolio that benefit from more consistent revenue stream. Think about your utilities. Think about your gas, your oil, the BART, the transit authorities. These are things that will continue to receive revenue pretty much regardless of what's going on with other sort of fundamental issues with pensions and so forth. So revenue-based bonds are usually managed independently of what we call the political gridlock or pension challenges that state and local governments face. And this could have more autonomy or a better effect on your overall portfolio as those revenues start to fall in the future. Another big important item you want to look at is when you look at the average maturity of your portfolio, you want to start to look at a shorter term maturity. In fact, I'm suggesting anywhere from 3, no more than potentially 11 years, unless you get a really good yield, then you can go out farther, especially if it's with something I'm talking about that's backing it up. But roughly 3 to 11 years is probably not a bad way to ladder your bond portfolio. Remember, don't put too much in one particular bucket. Try and spread that risk out. Much better idea. Also, look for tax-free. Tax-free bonds right now are a great way to go as long as they meet the parameters that I'm talking about. Hope these are helpful tips for you. So please take a look at your bond portfolios. Want to wish a happy birthday to Lynette Dowling, Amy Walsh, and we may have a new Kojikari with us. So happy birthday to you. I hope all your birthday wishes and dreams come true. Are you taking advantage of all the benefits that are out there right now? If not, why not? You pay your taxes, and I know you're paying a lot of them. If you don't know what you're paying, look at your paycheck. It's right there. Where does all that money go? It's obviously not coming back to you. I want to encourage you right now to find out what you're entitled to. Think how amazing it would be if you uncovered an extra $100,000 in income or benefits that were rightfully yours, but you didn't know how to get them. You had no idea where they were, that they were even out there. I don't want you to stress about these sort of things. Let us do that for you. You should use this money and spend it once you know that you have it to help others or yourselves, especially if it makes a difference. So for you to get started and figure out, how do you do this? How do you find out the benefits that are out there right now that are yours for the taking? There's only one way to do that, and that's to generate a plan and to execute it. Because if you don't plan, you're planning to fail, and it's just that simple. So plan to win. That's what winners do. They plan and they win the gold medal. They're heroes because they take action and they realize their dreams right in front of us, and it makes us marvel. Wow, how do we do that? I'm going to help you do that right now. How do you realize your dreams? In my customized plan that's developed for you, you're going to find answers that you've been looking for. You could pay others thousands of dollars to get this kind of information and still not get the types of answers that we're going to show you. We have the experience and training to help you. My team consists of a CPA. We have attorneys and financial advisors with experience in this industry that can sit down and try and help you figure out what you're trying to do. For the next 5 minutes, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines. And we'll take down your name and number and then get back to you about a good time to talk. So make sure when you call in, because we get a lot of calls, let us know your name and your number, best way to get a hold of you, and also the best time to call you back. And then somebody is going to call you back. As long as you've saved at least $250,000 in some sort of a retirement account, we're going to go ahead and do this for you right now.
The lines are open for the next 5 minutes. Call the Liberty Group right now at 888-588-5818 to get your free retirement master plan. It's 888-588-5818.
You have been listening to the Protect Your Assets show on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. I am David Hollander. I'm the Sandman. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence, and that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Callers should not provide their full names while on the air. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of the station. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances.
The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent 0B48569.
Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions.
The Sandman.